Shalom Lakula. Welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible College. Are we a little late today? Yeah, we're a little late today, but we are ready to go. And I'm hoping you're ready to go as well. I got a couple of gifts for you because I want us to get started on learning biblical Hebrew. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor Sandy, why are you doing all this? And we're not even going to be here that much longer. The Lord said, occupy till I come. So that's what I'm going to do. And so I'm going to occupy, even though I know that we're leaving. And I want you to get as much Hebrew in as possible. Because, what is Revelation? They said they were multitude of people standing before the Lord. They had different nationalities, different, and it says, and different languages. Mm-hmm. So that means there's going to be different languages in heaven as well. So some of us will speak Hebrew and English, and we'll be able to sing all the Hebrew songs as well as all the English songs. And then some of us will speak Spanish. And so anyway, there'll be many languages there. And so if Hebrew is one of them, you could just say, oh, I don't need the beginner's course. I took that on earth. And then you could say, okay, I want to start with another class. And then you can get started. So, because I just believe that, you know, life continues and we'll be able to continue once we get there. So I want to pray us in because I want to get started on today. I have a couple of things that I want us to do today. One thing is I hope you guys have been doing your conversational Hebrew. We only did that one lesson, that one lesson that we did. And I wanted to do lesson number 7 in our conversational Hebrew today because these are one of the things that I want people to know and to understand. Now, I didn't write it on the board today because we're going to go over Bereshit today because Bereshit is the first word of the Hebrew Bible. And I'll see if I can read that 46 verse 9 in Isaiah today, and that'll kind of give us an idea of why God wrote the word Bereshit in the beginning. Okay, so let's get started in prayer, and then we will get started with our lessons. And I'm saying lessons with an S today because we have a few lessons to go over. So praise the Lord. Is everybody logging in, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm praying us in, and I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. And so just if you can bow your head with me. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadesh Shemcha Tavo Mechuteka Yi Asero Tzanaka Be Aret Ke Ashene Asabe Shamaim Ten Lano Hayom Lechem Hukeno Uselak Lano Et Ashmetenu Ke Asher Solechim Anachnu Le Asher Ashmelanu Vial Tevienu Le De Masa Keim Hatzilanu Min Hara Kilaha הממלכה וגיבורה וכל תפארת לעולמי לעולמים. Amen. And we just thank the Lord today for this lesson. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, אנחנו תלפים, we pray. Amen. And so, the gift that I have for you today is, I've been looking for this because I wanted to add it to our Hebrew class, okay? Now, I got it pinned up. It's 28 pages, and I'm going to get it to Pastor Ben so he can get it to you tonight, because I'm going to go take care of this today. So the first two pages are all vocabulary words, which you will have to write 10 of those words out in both English and Hebrew throughout the week, and you can turn these words in. And as you learn more of the words, you're going to learn more biblical Hebrew and how the language is written. So important to learn to know Hebrew, to understand the scriptures. More and more I'm discovering that more and more every day. After that, you will have lesson 1 through 28, and what it will begin to teach you is biblical Hebrew. And you're going to learn that biblical Hebrew is a little bit different from conversational Hebrew, but now that you've learned some the letters and you've learned some conversational Hebrew, it won't trip you up as much because you'll understand that they just use a different word. It's kind of like, how art thou? We don't use that today. But, you know, when we're reading the King James, you'll go, okay, we know what it means, but we don't use that type of language today. Well, anyway, biblical Hebrew is kind of like that. And so we're going to begin to learn our biblical Hebrew. What this biblical Hebrew booklet is going to teach you is how to write Hebrew as well. So you'll begin to learn how the language is written. And I'm going to get this to you. You'll be responsible for turning in at least 10 words twice a week. You'll have to turn in 10 words that you've written out. So once you by the end of maybe a week or so, you'll have, and then if the Lord is gracious, or if he comes fast, I'd rather he come fast, but if he's gracious, then we will get through all the words, and you'll have quite a few Hebrew words from the Bible that you'll know, and you'll understand why I say some of the things I say, because I remember the first time, Pastor Ben, that I taught that Adam was created on the sixth day, is the Hebrew word mankind. And Adam was a specific one man that was created in Genesis chapter 2, and he was created on the eighth day. I was reading in the book of Jubilee the other day, and it says Adam received his wife on the second week. So that means that the whole 7 days went by, okay? But now we're talking about another Adam. We're not talking about mankind, right. Okay? Adam, he made man, he made woman, but it says, and God made mankind. Male and female, he created them. He made them male and female. How many of them, I don't know. But it specifically says mankind, okay? Then, In the Hebrew, when you get to Genesis chapter 2, it says, and God created Ha'adam and placed him in the garden. So this is one specific man that he placed in the garden. And he put that one specific man, because he says it's not good for him to be alone, right? So he took that one specific man that was in the garden, and he put him to sleep, and then he slid his side like Christ getting his side slid on the cross, and then he made a bride out of his side, and then he brought his bride to him, and then that Adam became the typology of Yeshua, and because Yeshua came out of the ground on the eighth day, and the Adam that was in the garden came out of the ground on the eighth day, because God created him. So you have the typology, and it equates out. And if you talk to a Jewish person about it, they go, of course. But if you talk to English people, since we can't get past the fact that man, Adam, and Ha'adam is two different ways of expression, I mean, then it just makes people mad, and they go, all men were created on the sixth day. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a crazy man. And I just go, okay. Jesus will explain it to you when you get there, because there is a scripture that says he'll sit us all down and explain the scriptures. Okay. So if you can this week, I would like for you to go back to your conversational Hebrew and look at lesson number 7. I'm going to have this lesson written out next week so we can go over this conversation. The conversation, it says the following conversation takes place in a bustling shuk, or and a shuk is like a open air market, okay? And it says it's on Yom Shishi, so it's on Friday, but it's not Shabbat yet. Right. Okay? It's on Friday, but it's not Shabbat yet. Okay? Now, we know that Shabbat begins when? At the evening, right? Because the day is from evening to evening. Unlike some guy who's teaching that, no, the day begins from sunrise to sunrise. And he's, you know, he's in Israel. So he, I guess he figured out from this Enoch calendar that a day begins at sunrise, and it completely throws him off of everything that he's doing. And it especially throws him off the fact that then he says, oh, Jesus didn't raise from the grave on Yom Rishon. I mean, on Bereshit. He didn't raise from the dead on the Feast of First Fruit. I'm like, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead on the Feast of First Fruit, then what's the purpose of the Feast of First Fruit? And but because he has this calendar, it's kind of thrown everything off. So it's like, you got to get back to the scriptures. And if God said it was evening and there was morning, I mean, Erev, Beboker, and then that was the next day. Then Erev, Beboker, that was the second. So God starts the day at evening. Okay. And so in this conversation, it's Friday. Okay. But it's not Shabbat yet. So they can shop, see, because they wouldn't be able to be out shopping and trading money during the Shabbat, but they know by evening it's going to be Shabbat. And it says here, on Yom Shishi, which is Friday, and everyone was busy buying food for Shabbat, because they have to cook the meal, you know, before the evening. They're going to have their Shabbat dinner. And it says, Sivan is shopping for vegetables, or yarakot, which is vegetables, also the word for green, yarak is for green, for her Shabbat dinner, and approaches a mocher. A mocher is just a salesman, okay? So he's there, he's selling the vegetables, and then the conversation starts off like this. Sivan says, Shalom, ane rotza liknot kama yarakot. Okay, so she says, Shalom, ane rotze. You guys know that, right? Ane rotze, I want, right? Lichnot means to buy. Kama means some, okay? I want to buy some yarakot. Now, yarak is green or vegetable, but the S, yarakot, because it's a feminine, is O-T, yarakot. So it says, Shalom, ane rotze lichnot kama yarakot. Then it says a strange word. It says Haim. Haim means yes or no. Okay? Because this is my question. Yes or no? Haim. Yarakot Haim are the vegetables fresh? Okay? But you can start any question like that in Hebrew. Because the answer is yes or no. Okay? Haim. Ata ohev oti o lo. Do you love me or not? Chaim, I'm going to start my question off by saying Chaim, yes or no, okay? Now, he says, the moher says, Bavakasha, meaning to the answer of, are the vegetables fresh? Bavakasha veret, hayarakot me'ot raim, rachigyu mina hakibbutz ma'at rotza. Now, he said, he doesn't say ma'ata rotza, because he's talking to a lady, ma'at rotza. What do you want, okay? And she says, "Ane rotze sne kilo agvaniot." That would be tomatoes. Sne kilo gezer. That would be carrots. And shlosh kilo melofefamin, which is cucumbers. That's a mouthful. Okay. It says, "Hini hayarakot veret." It says, "Ze tisha 9 v'chatzi and a half shekalim." Okay, and we're going to have to learn how to, in one of these conversations, we're going to learn how to tell time in Hebrew. Okay, this is lesson number 7 in your conversational book. Then she says, Yofi, which means beautiful, or it can be also in conversation, great. Okay, Yofi, okay, Toda, we know that means thank you. Then she says, Shabbat Shalom. Meaning that have a great Shabbat, right? Because the Shabbat's going to fall at evening, and then everybody. And then he says, Toda lach, thank you. Then he says this word, kol tuv, meaning all is well, or all the best to you, okay? Kol tuv, okay? So we're going to go over this conversation next week, conversation number 7 in your conversation book, because it's going to teach us some more things about the conversation that happens here. And you should get this today, which will give you your words for your biblical Hebrew. We are about to take off, and like I said, you're going to get real busy real fast. So I hope you enjoyed your break. Praise God.
Pastor Sandy, there's someone that has a question for you. Someone from the S4C.
Yeah.
They want Sandra C. I am a believer.
Yes.
Trying to learn truth.
Uh-huh.
Does Pastor Sandy teach that we are to honor the Sabbath as they did in Moses' time?
That is you email me so I can send you a message, a teaching on the Sabbath, because that is a very loaded question, because most people, when they get into Hebrew, immediately start saying, oh, I can't go to church on Sunday, I have to go to church on the Sabbath now. And so you need to understand from the Torah who God gave the Sabbath to, and you need to understand from the Torah why he gave the Sabbath to the Jewish people. There is a scripture that says, I am giving the Sabbath to the Israelites. It is a covenant between me and the Israelites forever. It is the only one of the Ten Commandments that it specifically says, I am giving this to the Hebrews. In all ancient texts, it says, in the Book of Jubilees, it says that they celebrated the Shabbat in heaven before God gave it on earth. And he gave it to a specific group of people to separate them from mankind. And that is the Jews. Now, once we become believers and you believe in Yahshua, yes, you can keep the Sabbath. But you have not replaced Israel. You have just come under the thing. So now you are allowed to keep the Sabbath. Because if you don't know Yeshua, you can't keep anything, because no pagans are allowed to keep the days. But once you come under Yeshua, you are now allowed to keep the Sabbath. Is keeping the Sabbath going to make you saved? No. It's never going to make you born again, okay? It's never going to give you salvation. As a matter of fact, if you try to base your salvation off the fact that you keep the Sabbath, then that means you have to go back and keep 613 other laws. And so anyway, I'll send you a thing. You email me and I'll send you a lesson, and then you can study it for yourself. Because most people, when they come into Hebrew, that's the first thing they want to try to figure out. And then they want to start judging people that go to church on Sunday. And they become Seventh-day Adventists in kind of a way. Because they say, oh, you're demonic because you're... And they have no idea of what Shmini Atzeret is, the eighth day, which is Sunday. So please, if you want to learn, then you want to learn correctly. You don't want to just jump on this big, we got to keep the Sabbath or else. No, learn why you're keeping the Sabbath and what gives you even the ability to be able to keep the Sabbath. Okay? All right. So here we go. We are on the word today called Bereshit. Okay? In our lesson book, and I hope you guys have your lesson books today, we are going to be on page number 13. See that beautiful word? Bereshit. That means in the beginning. Bereshit. In the beginning. In the beginning what? What did God do in the beginning? He created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. Okay?
She said, thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sandra C.
Okay, make sure you email me, because I want to send it to you. I want you to study it for yourself so that when people come up to you and they go, oh my God, I saw you going to church on Sunday. What a sin. The Catholics created Sunday. It's like, no. And matter of fact, do you know it, with God, there's no such thing as Sunday? If you can find Sunday in the Bible one time, I will pay you $1 billion. Okay. If you can find Saturday, I will pay you $1 billion. Okay. So God never gave the names of the days names anyway. Okay. Because
Saturday would mean Satan worship. Sunday would mean sun worship. So that means some pagan thought of all these names, right? Friday would be the worship of Phrygia, the sexual goddess. And so you got Thor. Thursday would be the worship of the goddess Thor, you know? So some pagan named Pope Gregory gave those names. There's no such thing as Sunday. Okay, so they did not invent a day. God was the only one there in the beginning creating days, okay? All right, but we'll get to that. That's a hot topic, so make sure you get back with me. Now, what I want to show you...
I'm so sorry if I said it. Other people want in on this, too.
Uh-huh.
They start emailing us. We want in on what you're about to teach her.
Okay, well, tell them to email me, and I'll just mail them all the information as well. Okay? So, but we can't use this class to answer one question. Because then I'm going to be a class behind. Okay? But email me so you can get all of that information, because I want you to be intelligent people. I don't want you to just listen to what the world tells you and just run with it, and then you're going and telling your boss you can't work on Saturday anymore and you'd rather quit, and then God, like, I blessed you with that job, you know? And it's a whole big thing where you got to understand your freedom in Christ and why you're even allowed to keep Shabbat. Okay. So here we go. We have this word, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamaim va'et ha'aretz. Now, I want us to go to, if you have your Bible, the book of Isaiah. Chapter 46, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. And I want you to hear what the Lord is saying here, okay? He says, remember the former things of old, for I am Yahweh. Or Yehovah, whichever you want to English pronounce it, you want Yad He Vav He. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Okay, I am God, and there is none like me. Wow, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying my counsel will stand. Okay? Now, God is going to tell us the end, but he's going to tell it to us in the beginning. So he's going to give you the whole story in the beginning. Then when you get to the end, you'll see that he had already told that story and it lines up. Okay? This is very important for you to know, because when you get to people that are trying to teach you another gospel, it's good to know the base of the story, because if you know the base of the story, nobody can switch it up on you. Understand? So you have to build your house from the base. Then now you have a solid foundation. Then no one can. So now God is going to teach you the gospel, but he's going to teach it to you from the beginning. Okay? So.
Your microphone on.
Oh, it's, yeah. Okay. I'm going to put it right here. How's that? Okay. Now, we're looking at, on page 13 of our books, the word Bereshit, in the beginning, bara, created, Elohim, God, et, no meaning, but it's the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, which is Yeshua, and it says Hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. Inside of that first verse of the Bible is the whole gospel and the whole story from Genesis to Revelation. And you say, that's absolutely crazy. Now, when I first heard this, I said, that's impossible. How can you do that? When you understand that there are people that actually study the Word of God from the Hebrew, and they're studying it so that they can show you what God has placed in the scriptures for you to see, then it will amaze you that your God wrote a book that no man could write. Okay? So, the word we're going to look at first, this sentence is, well, if you look at the sentence on your page and you counted the only the olives in the sentence, you would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 olives. Okay? And so you would say there's 6 olives in there. Now, 6,000, because olive is a letter, but olive is also a word, which means thousand. But if you write an olive, it's a one. But if you say the word olive, it means thousand. But if you write an olive, it's a one. But if you say the word olive, it's a thousand. So a day is unto the Lord as a thousand years. So God put the 6,000 where? In the first sentence of the Bible, because he's telling you a story that's going to take 6 days, God days, to complete. And he's going to give you a day by day structure of, on the first day I did this, the second day I did this, and then on Shabbat I rested and I kadosh that day, right? So he's giving you the same story, but now if a day is 1,000 years, then that means 1,000 years will pass, 2,000 years will pass, and at the end of 6,000 years, then that will be the end of God's work week, and then he will be ready to take his Shabbat, which is the 1,000-year millennium where Christ will reign and rule. He told you that story as soon as he said, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim va-et ha-aretz. Okay? Now, the word Bereshit, if you look at it, and we're going to write the word out. Let's write this word out first, because this word, I'm going to just put it right here. Bereshit is in the beginning. Now, what God does with this one word is he says, I'm going to take this word and tell you the whole gospel story. Okay? So he takes this one word, Bereshit, which of course, before you put the B on it, what does Reshit mean? First fruit. Okay, so this whole story about the gospel is about the person who's going to be the first fruit. The first fruit of what? Because it's the first day that God has even spoken anything. He hasn't spoken about creating a tree. Do you know to have a first fruit, you have to have at least a field that's growing stuff, right? I can't have the first fruit of a tree until I have a tree. God hasn't created a tree, but he's saying better sheep, because Reshit means first fruit, and this story, this word is about Yeshua. Okay? Now, so let's look at this. We have the word Bereshit. We'll underline that because really, he's talking about the first fruit, and he's going to tell you a story about the first fruit. Okay. Let's go to our next page in the book. If you're on page 14, you will see it says the word bar is written in the beginning, okay? And bar is actually a word. Bar means sun. In the book of Daniel, bar means sun. And where did we get that word? Remember when Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace? He came back and he looked. And he threw 3 in there, and he said, didn't we throw 3 into the fiery furnace? He says, but I see a 4th one, and he looks like Bar Elohim, or Bar Elohai, okay? He looks like, because they're using the Aramaic, he says, he looks like Bar Elohim. So Bar means son. So in the word Bereshit, the first word you have is son, okay? Who is his son? Bara means what? It's the second creator, or the created. So the son who is the creator, right? You have two words inside Bereshit, and it's the Son is the Creator. Now he's going to start talking about himself. If you turn to page 15, if you want to see the word Bar Elohim, it's in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. If you want to see the word Bara is created, and that's in Genesis 1. And now you're going to see the word Rosh, okay? Rosh means the head, okay? Meaning that the head of the whole situation, the chief, okay? So Rosh means head, okay? Now, let's look at this word. So you have here, with these three letters, you have the word called Rosh. That means the head. But God did something here. You see this letter here? That makes it personal. Roshi. That means my head. So he's telling you something. He said the Son is going to have something on his head. It's going to be his head that this thing is going to be on. What's going to be on his head? Let's turn to the next page. And from the scripture Isaiah 10 verse 17, it reads like this: the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and the Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and its briars in one day. The thorns and briars are satanic people, right? But the word thorn in Hebrew is what? What did we write it? Oh, I didn't write thorn. Okay. We're going to write thorn up here. And the word thorn is sheet. Okay? So, when you read that scripture in Isaiah, and he says he's going to burn up his thorns, it says he's going to burn up the sheet, his sheet. The sheet is thorns, okay? But in the word Bereshit, you also have the word thorns, okay? So God puts the word thorns in the word Bereshit. So the Son, who is the head, on his head is going to be what? Thorns, okay? Let's go to the next scripture. Let's go to the next page, on page 17. And now we look at a word in Hebrew, and this is the word in Hebrew is Bet Resh Shin, which means tree. Where do we get that from? Kings 19 verse 23, 2 Kings 19 verse 23, you'll see the word, this tree, that something is going on in this tree. And it says in that scripture, by the messenger, thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said with the multitude of the chariots, I have come up the heights of the mountain, okay, to the side of Lebanon, okay, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof and the fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodging. Okay? Now, the word mentioned there is, let's look at this, is Beresh, the tree. This tree is called a Beresh. Okay? Now, remember we did this with the, we made it personal. It was head, but we made it personal by putting the aleph on the end. So now it becomes roshi, which means my head, right? We do the same thing with tree. Now is bresh, but on the end of it, because we have baresh, but we put the yod on the end, and now this tree becomes my tree. It's not just a tree, it's God's tree, okay? But you say, wait a minute, Pastor Sandy. That says B-R-Resh-Shin. Okay? Here you have B-R-Shin and a Yod, and you have this additional letter in the middle. Why is this additional letter right in the middle of a word called tree? What is the Aleph in Hebrew? That's God. Because God is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? He is the one. So the Aleph represents God. So in the middle of this word called tree, you have God on the tree. And he has Shet, the thorns on his head. And who is he? He's the sun. He's the bar. So the sun has the thorns on his head, and he's in the middle of a tree. What about this last letter at the end? The Tav was originally written like this as a cross, because the Tav represents the end of the story, which is the cross. Okay, now, so you have the sun, who is the creator. On his head will be what? Thorns. It will be on a tree. And now you have one more word in there, and it's Shai. See this word here? Right here is Shai. You know what? Yeshua Shai is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, encoded, because Yeshua Shai means Yeshua the gift. Okay? Shai means gift. So the gift to us is who? His son. On the creator, on the cross, with thorns on his head, okay, is the gift to man. So the gift to man is what? His son is going to be on the cross. He's going to have thorns on his head. It's going to be his tree, because God is making it personal, meaning that he's creating this day, not anyone else. The Romans did not create the cross. How do we know that?
In the stars.
It's in the star constellation. You've been in class, okay? Because we know in the star constellations is what? This thing here. Should I use the blue one? Is it better to see with the blue one, Pastor Ben?
The blue one's better.
Okay. So in the star constellation, you have this. And you have that, and you have this, and you got this thing in the middle, and they say, oh, that's Libra. Well, it's called the scales, but the world calls it Libra because they're into witchcraft. So these are the weigh scales. What are the weigh scales?
Christ.
This is the way that I'm going to measure out what something costs. This sign is in the sky, okay? It is one of the 48 constellations that's in the sky, or the major 12. Now, underneath this star constellation is the Southern Cross. And every year, what does the sun do? It gets lower and lower and lower. Then the sun sits on the cross for 3 days. Then it rises higher, and then you have longer days, and you have what you call daylight saving time, and it does this every year in the Southern Cross. So the sun cuts lower and lower and lower and lower, then it finally rests on the cross. Then after 3 days, then it rises up, and then you have longer days, and we call it the winter or the spring equinox or the winter solstice, okay? So that happens every year, but it's right underneath the scales, which means that the purchase of a bride is what? The cross. This is what Christ is doing. He's on the cross, the Son, who is the Creator. I'm going to change this. Who is the Creator? On his head is going to be thorns, and he's going to be on the tree, and it's his tree, and this is his gift to God. This is his gift to man, because this is how he's going to purchase who? His bride. Isht. Okay? He's going to purchase his bride in this manner. Now, So the whole gospel is written in Bereshit. Okay? There is a misunderstanding by religious people that Jesus was some man that God sent to the earth and had him die for us. But if you see the Bible as a biblical religious story and you don't see it as God planning his own rescue of his own people and staying within the measures of his culture, okay? Because remember, now I'm going to teach you something here so that you'll understand, okay? Here we go. Now, the word in Hebrew for love is ahav, which is a numerical value of 8, okay? Ahava is a numerical value of 13, okay? So, love is 8 and 13. Who is the new beginning? Because the 8 is a new beginning, okay? You got 7 days a week, the 8th day is a new beginning, okay? So, Yeshua's numerical value, we know, you've been in class, is 888. So love, the root word of love is 8. The full word of love, ahava, is 13. So if you go to 1 Corinthians, you'll read about what? In chapter 13, you'll have 13 characteristics of love. It'll have 13 verses, and it'll be in chapter 13 of Corinthians. Why? Because the word in Hebrew, ahava, is 13. And now you say, well, if the word is 13, I thought 13 was for rebellion. That's how God's going to overcome your rebellion. Okay? Because if you read Mark, I think it's Mark chapter 7 verse 21 or 21 verse 7, the Lord gives us 13 characteristics of rebellion. So God is overcoming our rebellion by his love. And how is he going to do this? He was crucified before the creation. You understand? This was God's plan before the creation, not his plan after Adam sinned. Okay? He planned his crucifixion before he said Bereshit, because Adam is not even created yet and he's already talking about redeeming him. So don't say, oh, Adam messed up. No, Adam did what God's plan was, and God's plan was, I'm making a man that needs redemption, okay? He's not making a perfect man. He makes him perfect at first, but he's not making him perfect. He's making him for the purpose of creating a man that needs redemption, because his plan is to what? To the creator to be on a tree with thorns on his head, and that's going to be his gift to mankind, to redeem him out of the earth. Okay, now, what is a betrothal? It's an engagement, okay? Did Jesus Christ become engaged to the church? Yes, that's why you have the Holy Spirit. It is a down payment or a ring on the fact that he's coming back to marry you, okay? Now, in the Hebrew culture, you also have a bridal price. That means that when in the, because I'm reading to you from Judaism 101, if you want a bride, you're going to have to pay a bridal price. You can't just say, I want to marry your daughter. They're going to say, okay, then give the bridal price and then come back. So you have to have a bridal price. That's why Christ paid the price. That's why you have the scales, because there is a price that has to be paid for a bride. So we got engaged. Christ paid the bridal cost. Then he says, I am going to the Father. In my Father's house are many mansions, right? If it were not so, I would have told you. But he says, I am going there to build a place for you. Why? because that's what a bridegroom does. After the wedding, the engagement, you go home and you build a place for her to come, because when she comes, she's going to have a place to live, okay? So the bride, the groom goes and he builds the cheder or the chuzpah, and he's building this place for his bride because he knows he's got to go back and pick her up, and then they got to bring her there, then they have to have a wedding and the place has to be finished, okay? Now, I'm trying to give you all of this so that you'll understand what Jesus Christ did. Now, the wedding, the day for a wedding in Jewish culture is Yom Shloshi. It's the third day. So when you read the scriptures, it's going to say, on the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan. And then we say, why was it on the third day? From the third day of when? If you understand Jewish culture, you'll understand that Yom Shloshi is the day of a wedding. So on the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan, right? And that's when Christ did this miracle of the wine. Okay. It's one thing. It says if the woman was a virgin, if she was a virgin, she was married on Yom Shloshi. If she was not a virgin, then she was married on a Wednesday night. Okay. Now, after they get married, what happens? What happens after a Jewish bride marries a Jewish man? What happens immediately after? First, they consummate the wedding, of course, but now they go on a 7-day, okay, festival. And now this 7 days is set aside for the bride and the bridegroom, okay? So a day for a year, which what Christ gave Israel when they sinned. So 7 years, 7 days is the tribulation. So this is how all this stuff is working out to be right in order with what God is saying, okay? Wedding of the bride and the husband. And okay, so let's
10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to read one more scripture, and I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23. Pastor Sandy can talk. That's got to be talking. Where's my? I got this little book. Okay. Here is Ephesians. And we are going to be in verse 5. Okay. And we're going to be in verse 23. Okay. Chapter 5, verse 23. And it says here, let's just start reading it. Well, let's read it at 23. It says, for a husband has authority over his wife, just as Christ has authority over the church. And Christ is himself the Savior of the church, his body. And so, wives must submit themselves completely to their husbands, just as the church submits itself to Christ. Husband must love his wife, must love your wife, just as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. So for people who want to get married, you men, love is a hard thing to do. You give up yourself for your bride, okay? And he says, he did this to dedicate the church to God by his word, and after making it clean by washing it in water, in order to present the church to himself in all its beauty. And I'm reading American English Standard. It says, pure and faultless, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, right? And it says, men ought to love their wives just as they love their own body. Now listen, men ought to love their wife just as they love their own body. So, someone said, no, the church is not the bride. The church is the body of Christ, but Israel is the bride. Bad teaching. Why? This just told you.
because he's telling you, you love your bride as your own body. So Christ loves his bride because his bride is his body. Okay, so don't let, I mean, if you understand the scriptures, you won't let people trip you up and get you thinking crazy stuff. Okay, then it, as it goes down, it says, let's see. For we are members of his body, in verse 30, as the scripture says, for this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and unite with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a deep secret of truth revealed in scripture. But understand, it's applying to Christ and the church, okay? Because God wants you to know this, the reason this whole thing, the gift, okay? It's the gift to man, but the gift that Christ is going to receive for being the Son and the Creator and dying on the cross with thorns on his head and it being his cross, his decision, because it's going to be a payment for what? For the gift. It's a gift to mankind to offer you salvation, but the gift to Christ is that he receives a bride, okay? So, when you look at the word Bereshit, remember, the entire gospel of Jesus Christ is in that one word. The last word, the last part of this is what? Not Bereshit. Let's take off the B. And now what does that become? Rashit. First fruit. He's going to be the first one to resurrect from the grave. And when he resurrects from the grave, then he's going to harvest three more. He's going to harvest the three harvests. And those three harvests, the barley, the wheat, and the fruit, are going to be harvested into the kingdom. And they will all be harvested because of the first fruit who resurrected from the grave. And now you're going to have three more resurrections or three more harvests. And they're going to join Christ in heaven as the body of Christ. Okay? So, that's the lesson for today. What are you doing tonight? Other than remembering this message. But you can go back when you have your test. Is we're going to study number 7 on our conversational list, okay? Because we want to know how to say, I want to buy something, okay? Rather it's a t-shirt or a menorah. You want to be able to speak conversational Hebrew if you should visit Israel. And the other part is I'm going to mail you the brand new, which I have it all together here today, the brand new program. And it's going to start off with words. And I don't have a cover for it, but Pastor Ben is good at creating covers. But I'm gonna make sure that you have this. It's a workbook. That means you can sit down and you can finish this whole workbook. And by the time you finish with these 28 pages, I'll send you 28, which is the second step. And then you can start learning even more biblical Hebrew. And you'll understand why Jesus says, surely, surely, you, and truly, truly. And it, you'll go, oh, why is he saying truly twice and surely twice? Because it's biblical Hebrew, and you have to understand the doubling of a word gives it more strength. And you're going to learn all that as you're learning biblical Hebrew. Okay? So that is it for today. And I want to pray you out. Did I go over my time, Pastor Ben?
Nope, you're perfect.
All right. And now we're going to pray you out. I want to thank all of you guys for wanting to learn Hebrew, because when you learn Hebrew, you learn the Bible from God's perspective. God gave me 17 lessons for this class, and the 17 lessons are to teach you how to truly understand the depth of God and read the Bible from his perspective and not from man's perspective. Okay? So here we go. Let's pray out. Yivarekha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha, Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim lecha shalom. And the scripture says, Moses, when you come to my people, tell them. He says,
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, Leitriot, Shavuot Chabad. See you next week.